Today is October 31st, 2012. Thank you, Drew. We have been going through the Ramban. We have three pages of the Ramban right now. So let's begin, just review quickly the first page, which we had already covered. But basically, the first segment on the top of the page, he mentions that the Rambam uses or mentions the opinion in the Gemara in Brachos of Omer al Kan Tzipor Yagir Rachamecha, that a person who's davening should not say to Hashem, or if he does say, oh, the same way you had mercy on the mother bird, that in that same way you had mercy, you should have mercy on us. And then, among other things, the Mishnah says that Mishaskin also, Shtika, you quiet him down. And the Gemara explains the reason for that is because you're making the midos of Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu rachamim ve'inan el gzeiros. We actually had the mission, the Gemara in its longer form on the third page of our sources, and there it says she'osim midos of Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu rachamim. Rashi explains midos of literally means the attributes, what it means here, the mitzvahs. It's making the mitzvahs is sort of misrepresenting the mitzvahs of the Rebbeinu Shalom as rachamim, as the motivation behind it is for kind of compassion, but really it's einan ela gzeiros. They're gzeiros, they're chukim, and the Ramban, when he mentions this, he uses this. He says this is the source for this is the other opinion. This is the source for the opinion that we mentioned earlier, that there are no specific reasons behind the mitzvahs other than to fulfill the will of the Rebbeinu Shalom. And then he brings down the Medrash in Breishis Rabbah, where it says, why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu care if you shecht it from the front of the neck or the back of the neck? And we just keep on the side of your mind there that the truth is that there is reason, and we'll have to get to that, what the Ramban really means here, but what the Medrash really means. It means, what the Medrash is saying is, why would the Rebbeinu Shalom care that we should shecht it this way or that way? Presumably the reason is that it causes less pain to the animal, yes? And we know if you learn Chulin, you'll see that if you shecht from the back of the neck, you actually render the animal a treifa already before you get to the simanim, to the two signs that you have to cut. So it would seem that there are reasons, but at this point, the Medrash is saying, let's leave it at that for now, that the Medrash is saying, why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu care? And therefore, the Medrash quotes those famous words that, Kol Imras Eloika Tzrufa. All the words of the Rebbeinu Shalom are Tzrufa, which we're translating loosely now as to purify. Fine. Then he brings down a pasuk. I think we'll pass up on that. I'm moving on to page 2 of the Ramban. And then he mentions Kvar Darshu Bepara Aduma. This is the top of page 4 in your collated sheets. It also says number 546 at the top. And I'm on the top line. In the middle of the line, it says Kvar Darshu Bepara Aduma. In Koheles Rabbah, we mentioned this Medrash, that in Koheles Rabbah, in the Medrash on Koheles, it Medrash Rabbah on Koheles, it says about a paraduma that Amar Shlema Melech Olav Hashalem said, Alakol Amadati, I understood everything, I understood the reasons behind everything. Uparsha Shal Paraduma Chakarti Vishalti Upishpashti, I examined it, I delved into it. Amarti Echkama. That's now a quote. Those last few words is a quote from Kehelis itself. I thought I would become wise. Echkama, chachma. I thought I would become wise from them. V'hi rechayka mimani. But yet, it's distant from me. So, very clear indication that there are reasons behind the mitzvahs. And then he brings down from Chazal that Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina mentions that the Rebbeinu Shlom did reveal it to Moshe. He did reveal the reason behind the Paraduma to Moshe. And then he quotes, look at this, very interesting very interesting source that the Gemara quotes, that the Medrash quotes for this. Dechsiv, it's a pasuk in Zechariah. V'hoya b'yoy mahu, will be at the end of days. Lo yiye ur yekareis v'kipa'in. There will not be or yakaris. Yakar is difficult or heavy, and so there will not be any, how do they translate here, a heavy light, and kipaon. Now the Gemara, the Medr says like this. Really, it doesn't say. It's not written that way. Vikipaon. It's rather written. Yikpa'u, which means to float, which means it will come to the surface. So we have what's called a kriya niksiv. It's written one way, pronounced the other way, that we have that mesira. But in any case, it will float to the top, meaning to say that although those things were very, very hidden in the depths until today, but on the days in Lasid Lavai, Hashem will reveal the reasons behind everything. This is, if you look at this medrash in itself, this tells the whole story. There are great reasons, great profundity to all the mitzvahs, but till this very day, there are many of them that we don't understand. And as time goes on, we become weaker and weaker in our understanding. But eventually, at the end of the day, it will surface. Like the black box, right? They try to have it. Black box, it drops, it sinks, or it floats.
Probably it floats. Find it, right?
One would think, but I think that the black box actually deliberately, because it lets out a signal, in order to keep it safe, it drops. Yeah, but in any case, anything that was covered until today that we don't understand will come to the surface in Olam Haba. K'hodein samya de tzofe, like Samya are assuming, like the Hodein is these. A blind person, Ditzofen, Har Tzofim, he's able to see, he's able to gaze. Tzofe Umabit, he could see, the Rebbeinu Shlom could see very far, right? So a blind person who's able to suddenly see, what does it say? It says, V'halachti Ivrim Bederech Loi Yido. I will lead the blind on a path that they never understood. And it means to say that the Rebbeinu Shlom at the end of days will reveal these things to us. And here he has a mention of Rabbi Akiva, that the Rebbeinu Shlom did mention them to Rabbi Akiva. Okay, we'll skip that. Okay, Ela Rabba basically mentions that there's many, many sources for this in Chazal, that it is only our intellect that prevents us from understanding the depths of all the mitzvahs. So we do have so many sources that show us that there is a reason for the mitzvahs. So what about the sources that the Ramban quotes that seem to say that there is no, like from Khan Sipar, or this statement by Chazal that says that it's only litzreif bahen, to Imra Salika Trufa, it's there to purify. So he says his pshat, and that is, I'm on page, on the next page, on the second half of this page. The top right corner of this page says 546. I'm on the second column here. Okay? It's still page number 4 in your collated booklet. It says there, Avol Elu HaGodes Asher Niskashu Al Arav, those sources that the Rambam was grappling with, you know what it's talking about? Sheratzu loymer she'eina ta'eles ba'mitzvah HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'atzma yisale. The main purpose, the main message of those things from Chazal is not that there are no reasons behind the mitzvahs, but that there's no purpose for the mitzvahs for Hashem himself. The purpose of the mitzvahs for the people themselves, limnoya mimenu nezek ayemuna ro. This Chazal is not addressing what the reasons are behind the mitzvahs and what benefits there are behind the mitzvahs. It's addressing the benefit to humans rather than to the Rabbeinu Shalom. The Te'elis is the people, limnoya mimenu, to prevent from him nezek, to prevent him from any harm. How is the Torah preventing anybody from any harm? There's a direct way and an indirect way. When we learn Torah, the Rabbeinu Shalom protects us. How do we know that? We say, Shomer Yisrael. Rabbeinu Shalom, Shomer Sheiris Yisrael. To which people? The people that say, Shema Yisrael, Mishal Shom Shosh Kudosh HaKadosh. The people that protect, the people that say these things, that keep the Torah and follow the Rabbeinu Shalom's ways, he protects them. So that's the sort of indirect way. You learn the Torah, you keep the Torah, you do the mitzvahs, the Rabbeinu Shalom protects you. But there's also direct protection. And that is, it helps you refrain from doing things that could be harmful for you. There's many mitzvahs in the Torah. I'll just quote one very quickly. You got to put a fence around your roof. That's a very simple and direct one, right? There's many mitzvahs. And also, when people are engaged in the pursuit of productive activity, that's the best antidote to non-productive activity. The Gemara says that the Rabbeinu Shalom created the Yetzirah, Barasi Yetzirah, and what's the antidote to the Yetzirah? The Torah. So it keeps you out of trouble. That alone is, unfortunately, we see it more and more today, is very important. So here he says it prevents us from nezek, oyemuna ra, or from bad philosophies, oyemida meguna, or from coarse character traits. Oylizkar nisim v'neflois habayir leidatas Hashem. Or to remember, it helps us remember the nisim and neflois of the Rabbeinu Shalom, to know the Rabbeinu Shalom and know his ways. Says the Ramban, and this is the key, v'zehu litzreif b'hem. You know what Chazal mean when it says litzreif b'hem? It means to purify them, sheyiyu kikesef tzaruf, like what we called sterling silver. And here he says, ki atzeirif kesef, the person who's purifying the silver, ein maaseh b'leita, what's he doing it for? For no reason? Of course he's doing it for a reason. But look at the poor silver, it's melting, and it's it was in such a nice, sometimes they even melt, old coins. I still remember a friend of mine bought a house many years ago. And no, he didn't buy a house, he got it as an inheritance. And when he went into the house, it was a relative of his that he didn't have that much to do, but it was the only last relative for this person. He went into the house and he went looking around the house to see the person. Unfortunately, had passed away, and they, in the will, he was left in the will. So he went into the house and he looked around and he sees, okay, the house itself was worth money. I think eventually he sold it, but he went up to the attic. He knew that in the olden days, they used to hide things. Maybe they still do. Don't tell me if you do. But they used to hide things in the attic. So there was a trap door there. He went up into the trap door, and sure enough, he found in there thousands of dollars of, not gold coins, of silver coins. And I still remember, he took me with him to the silver store. Basically, I don't remember what kind of coins. They were dollars, half dollars. I don't remember what they were, U.S. coins. The value was simply the metal. It wasn't the face value. The metal was far more valuable than the actual face value. Some coins are worth for both, but basically the guy bought them from him for the value of the silver, and he told us. He said he's going to send it out to the, I don't know, mint. I don't know where they sell it to, and they just melt it down and use it for something else, which I don't know if that's legal or not because it's a legal tender, but that's a different question. In any case, you have this idea of melting something down, but it's such a beautiful coin. Look at it. It's nice. It was minted. It has a purpose. But you're trying to purify it. Of course, it's very got nice things on it. You got to purify it. So you put it through the furnace and so on. And you're there of lahitzi mimenu kol sig. The purpose is to remove any impurity, to refine it to the point where it removes all the impurities. And those are the mitzvahs of the Torah. If you could imagine your neshama going through the mitzvahs of the Torah, exerting yourself. I'll tell you an amazing thing. Very often, when it comes to Erev Pesach, not many of us have the ability to just put the key in the door, lock it, and go to a hotel on vacation. Right? Although, if you had the best kashrus and they gave you your own room for a seder, and you had all the things that you would all the benefits that you have at home, you would have there in the hotel, it might be the best time to go on vacation. Right? You save yourself all the cleaning. So I saw this year for the first time one of the svarim bring down from way back that the exertion, specifically the exertion that you put in to Pesach cleaning of all things, has an enormous effect, purifying effect on your neshama. Now, I don't know about you, I clean because of, you know which mitzvah I clean? You know why I clean before Pesach? For V'chai Bohem. You should live and you shouldn't die. No, I'm just, I'm kidding. I clean because it's coming time for Pesach, and people make that mistake, by the way. You think you're cleaning because your wife says so. You got to clean because you have the same obligation to clean for Pesach as she does. The dust is a different question. Michal's looking at me funny. The dust is not. Hold on, but the question is, how does it purify you? So shechita like this and not like, he'll go into that. Shechita like this and not like this, or this mitzvah and that mitzvah. How does it purify? Does it correct amida? Does it correct, you know, what it does for you? Those are sub-explanations of each mitzvah. But the general, that's what he's trying to point out. The Rambam used that. The Rambam was dealing with it, looking at this medrash and saying, what's going on here? It sounds like there are no. So what was the Rambam's solution? The Rambam said, you know what this is talking about? The details of the mitzvah, right? But the Ramban has an entirely different approach. This is all just speaking in a general sense about the mitzvahs themselves, but each mitzvah has a benefit. So it's somewhat diametrically opposed to the Rambam. The Rambam is saying that each detail doesn't have. He's saying, no, that's specifically what this Medrash is addressing. The Medrash is addressing there's a general benefit, the fact that it's there to purify us, right? But certainly each mitzvah has an intention and has a midah or some sort of benefit specifically. Oh, now he quotes, this will address your issue, Reb Michal. He quotes the medrash that we saw about the shechita. He says, "My ichbes leila kodesh baruch hu ben shoychid behema va'ichol ay neicher va'ichol." Who cares? To the Rebbeinu Shlom, he cares if we shecht or we kill it in any other way. Or as Chazal say, what's the difference between eichol tahayreis? Now we got to go to page 6. Yeah, okay, that was the middle of a statement. But basically, that's the basic gist. Why does the Rebbeinu Shlom care about that? Why should it make a difference? And the answer is, like he's saying. There is some benefit to each mitzvah. Well, he'll get to that in a moment. That, let's say, Shlita is a good example. To minimize the pain, which is the Ramban's famous explanation of, the Rambam speaks about it also. The Rebbeinu Shleilam, I'll just address your question directly first, and he'll talk about it out openly. The Rebbeinu Shleilam does not prevent us, he doesn't restrain us from using animals. The same Rebbeinu Shleilam that said don't cause pain to animals is the same Rebbeinu Shleilam that tells us you could use it for your benefit to eat. People make that mistake. They think you want to be a vegetarian because you can't accept the fact that it's being hurt, etc. That's a whole different discussion. But to say it's not right to eat animals is absolutely incorrect. And the Ramban will say it very clearly. He'll speak about it openly later. But towards the end of the second column here. But basically, what he says is the Rebbeinu Shlom does not prevent us from having benefit from animals. Absolutely not. And we have to keep that in mind. That it's the same Rebbeinu Shlom says you don't want to partake. That's fine. But you cannot create a philosophy that the Rebbeinu Shlom forbade such a thing. The Rebbeinu Shlom allowed it. Now, the Rebbeinu Shlom says, once I allow you to minimize the pain, and there's many mitzvahs like this. One of them is Shiloh HaKein. You send away the mother bird. And once you're taking the animal, the children, make sure you minimize the pain. Shechita should be done in such a way from the front of the neck, not the back of the neck, so you minimize the pain. Or you have, what's that? Tzar Balei Chaim. Also, Tzar Balei Chaim, the mitzvah of Tzar Balei Chaim is not to cause undue harm. But as the Ramban will say openly, he says, if the Rebbeinu Shlom really, if that was priority number one, do not cause any pain to animals, as unfortunately some people have made into a religion today. They'll kill people because they're wearing a fur coat, right? But that's incorrect because you don't want to do it. You don't want to wear a fur coat. That's very fine. That's nice. That's great. But you cannot believe that it's forbidden to kill an animal for a fur coat. The same Rebbeinu Shlom, if you believe in the Torah, the same Rebbeinu Shlom that said that you shouldn't cause undue harm to animals, the same Rebbeinu Shlom said, but you're allowed to eat. In fact, there's a great mitzvah. The Ramban elsewhere, by the way, I like to point this out when we have this discussion. The Ramban says like this, ready? There's a mission that says that you should only feed, a chazal, let's say, you should only feed meat to a Talmud Chacham. So Ramban explains like this. He says, what are you going to do with the meat? You shech the animal, and you eat it, you make a brach on it, you digest it, and you use the energy for what? If you use the energy for Torah, so think about it for a minute. You know the expression, if there's no pain, there's no gain, correct? Yes? You've heard that expression, no? Yeah? No pain, no gain. So Ramban says, if you would go over to the animal, if there was such a thing where you could speak to the animal, and say, look, you have a choice. You could live out the rest of your days painless, somewhat. For the next 20 years, you could graze in the fields and enjoy yourself, maybe produce some milk, and great, you know, wonderful. Or, and then what's going to happen? You're going to die, and you're going to decompose, and there'll be nothing left of you. The other choice is that you could be slaughtered. It may be a slight pain for 30 seconds. And then your meat will be ground up and your meat will be there. And it will be served to people who will then do what with it? Use that as energy. It will be transformed into what? Into eternity. So if you would ask the animal, what is the most compassionate thing to do to you? He would say, I'm more than willing to go through that 10 milliseconds of pain for the purpose of provide. That was my purpose. That's the reason why the Rebbeinu Shlom created me. Okay, that's a Ramban, a fascinating Ramban elsewhere. Please do not share these ideas with any vegetarians that you might know. I have nothing wrong with any person who wants to be a vegetarian, that's fine. But don't believe that the Rebbeinu Shlom forbade it. That's against the Torah. That's for sure against the Torah. Okay, but in any case, but that's basically what he's saying is, we're running out of time here. Basically what he's saying is that each mitzvah, the subtlety of each mitzvah certainly and the meat that it engenders, whatever it may be that you benefit from in different ways, for midos, for other sorts of things, keep you out of trouble, knowing the ways of the Rebbeinu Shlom, coming closer to him, elevating yourself so you have a greater Olam Haba, whatever the case may be, each mitzvah certainly has a wonderful reason. These sources are speaking on a general level that the mitzvahs are there to purify. The Ramban didn't learn this way, right? Ramban say he said that the Medrash was basically telling us that there are no reasons for the details of the mitzvah. Ramban is saying to the contrary. There are great reasons to each one, but the all-encompassing reason is that it causes some benefit to every human being, and that's the word, tzaruf, to purify it. Okay, Shkayach, we'll meet tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem.